we're actually going to jump out of order here. Let the record note we're back on. We're going to jump to item 17 in the interest of listening to an item on the U.S. Forest Service waiver. So, and actually, Thomas Williams, this is an informational item only, by the way, to update us on activities with respect to our program on U.S. Forest lands.
Good afternoon, Chairman Noren and board members. My name is Tom Williams, and I'm an engineering geologist with the Northern Timber Unit with the Nine Point Source and Timber Division. I'm here to give you an update on the U.S. Forest Service waiver that this board adopted in June 2010. This was my first time in 11 years with the board that I've had the honor to address you. So thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
So a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. The first is just spending a quick review on the Forest Service waiver structure and conditions, and then talk about a series of meetings that we had with the forest in our region after the waiver was adopted, and a little bit about a couple of guidance documents that we've produced in cooperation with the Forest Service. And in October in Eureka, we conducted our annual meeting with the Forest Service. So I'll talk a little bit about that and then finish up by talking about waiver accomplishments. Okay, so the structure of the waiver, it was order number R1-2010-0029, titled Waiver of Waste Discharge Requirements for Non-Point Source Discharges Related to Certain Land Management Activities on National Forest System Lands in the North Coast Region. And it basically breaks Forest Service projects into two different categories of activities. The first is called Category A, and Category A is thought to have a low potential impact to water quality as a result of the project, and there's no application requirements for Category A projects. Category B is projects that have a more moderate potential impact to water quality, and there's a requirement that an application be submitted by the Forest Service and that we review that application. And prior to the project moving forward, we have to grant waiver coverage, and so there's formal regional board approval required. And then there is also a waiver monitoring reporting program for Category B projects. So this slide illustrates the Forest Service lands within the North Coast region. It covers a total of about 55% of the region, so over half. And this waiver specifically applies to non-point sources, including timber harvesting activities, roads, grazing, recreation, vegetation management, restoration activity, and then fire-related activities. One thing I want to emphasize is this has really been, since this waiver has been adopted, there's been, we've been working really hard on it. And considered to be a big accomplishment for both our division and our office. This waiver covers non-point source activities in over 50% of our region. And it replaces a waiver that only covered timber harvest activities. So it's much more comprehensive. And it's been a real large staff commitment. I mean, there are two timber units that are actively involved in implementing the waiver. And there's actually four national forests that are almost entirely within our region and a couple portions of two forests that also are within. So for the four forests that are entirely within our region, we have assigned lead staff to each of the four forests. and they act as a liaison between the forest and the Regional Water Board and as a point of contact for any kind of questions or project activities. So just to go over the general conditions, these apply to both Category A and B projects. And the conditions including managing riparian zones to maintain natural shade conditions, actively addressing legacy sediment delivery sites within the project area, and then assessing watershed conditions and proposing and implementing restoration activities to address water quality concerns. So, and this waiver was designed to achieve compliance with sediment and temperature TMDL compliance by moving ahead with addressing these legacy sediment sites, inventorying and treating them. So these specifically apply to sites within the project area where the Category B project is to occur. And then temperature TMDL compliance is achieved by maintaining natural shade within riparian zones. And then we're moving ahead as far as implementation monitoring. Our intent is to try to achieve 100% implementation monitoring by applying on-the-job prescriptions that meet Forest Service best management practices. And then Category B conditions that apply specifically to the more moderate impact projects. As I stated before, it requires that an application be submitted with documentation and that the project has undergone a multidisciplinary project review by the Forest Service before the project is proposed to us and has undergone NEPA analysis. And also cumulative watershed effects analysis to evaluate the impact, overall impact of the project on that watershed. And there are specific contractor conditions. So this waiver not only applies to the Forest Service itself, but all third parties that are acting on contracts for the Forest Service. And so those contractors need to be made aware of waiver requirements, formally made aware of that. Category B projects require Regional Water Board approval, and as I stated before, there's a specific monitoring and reporting program for Category B projects. So shortly after the waiver was adopted, we conducted outreach presentations with each national forest in our region. So these meetings were held between fall and spring of 2011, and at the meetings we introduced the waiver to each of the forests and had a discussion of the waiver and the conditions. And then, you know, we anticipated that there would be questions coming out of the meetings that we wouldn't be able to specifically address right there, so we kept a list of these questions and promised the forests that we would prepare detailed answers to their questions, and these questions and answers were presented to the Forest Service at the annual meeting in October. So as part of the follow-up to the implementation of the waiver, there's been a couple of guidance documents that have been prepared. The first is an implementation checklist. So the waiver monitoring reporting program specifies that project implementation will be monitoring associated with project implementation will be conducted using a checklist approach. And so there was some confusion initially about how detailed these checklists had to be and whether it was necessary to have a checklist for actually preparing the project and then implementing the project. So we've been working with Forest Service staff to come up with a guidance document to explain what kind of level of effort we thought would be needed. And so This guidance document was jointly developed with between our staffs and was transmitted to the National Forest on June 20th of this past year. And then, as I said, the second guidance document was this waiver questions and answers. And we have promised, after talking to the forest at the annual meeting about the questions and answers, we've promised to finish those questions and answers. There's a few more items that need to be addressed, and then the answers, questions and answers, are going to be posted on the Region 1 website within the next month or so. So we conducted this annual meeting with the forest in Eureka on October 27th, and at the annual meeting, we went over the differences between Category A and B, revisions to the waiver monitoring reporting program. So the waiver MRP has been revised and is now available for public comment. In fact, today is the last day of the public comment period. And as I stated before, so the comments on the waiver were distributed to interested parties via an interested party parties list that we maintain. The as I stated before, one of the things that we talked about was this the question and answers, and these answers are going to be posted on the website. And then another matter that is kind of a vital part of the waiver is this issue of watershed restoration and treatment of legacy sediment sources. So we spent a lot of time at the annual meeting talking about that issue. We also spent some time talking about the state waiver. The Region 1 waiver that had been adopted has been used as a basis for developing a statewide Forest Service waiver. And this draft waiver was considered at a state board hearing in Sacramento on December 6th, but has not been adopted pending further review. So I just want to spend a minute talking about some of the accomplishments that have come out of this waiver. As I said, our office views this as a huge accomplishment. We provide waiver coverage for most Forest Service non-point activities on over 50% of the land base in our region. The intent of the waiver is to ensure water quality protection and achieve compliance with the state board's non-point source policy. With any new permit, there's likely to be issues that need to be worked through and addressed. And this has been the case with this waiver. The waiver implementation is a work in progress and will require back and forth dialogue between the Regional Water Board and Forest Service staff. But one of the things we really wanted to emphasize at the annual meeting is we believe that there's flexibility on waiver implementation, and we're dedicated to working with the Forest Service to ensure worthwhile projects proceed and water quality is protected. You know, we've learned a lot in the last year and a half, and we'll continue to work closely with the Forest Service moving forward. But that's one of the real take-home meetings we wanted to leave from the annual meeting, is that, you know, we're open to dialogue. We want to keep we want to be ready and available to make sure that we work closely in waiver implementation with the Forest Service moving forward. So before I take any questions, I wanted to introduce Tyrone Kelly. Tyrone is the is a Forest Service supervisor for Six Rivers National Forest in Eureka, and he's here to to address the board, and he has a few comments. So, Tyrone, can you come up and join me?
And good afternoon. I want to thank the board for letting me make a few comments today about the waiver and working with the board and the staff in developing that waiver, and also now working with the staff to implement the waiver. It has been been a joy to work with the board and with the staff during this process. We're pleased with the waiver and how it's progressed, and how the board has been, and the staff in particular, have been more than willing to work with us and look at specific cases in order to work out some of the nuances that come, as was mentioned, with any new waiver. This waiver fits very well with our strategic objectives, not only for the North Coast, but for California, ecological restoration being our cornerstone, and also the approach that the agency is taking on a national basis. So we are, this board as well as this region is a forerunner for some of the larger objectives that we would like to achieve, and in particular on the North Coast, water quality as it is associated with our aquatic conservation and aquatic strategy, especially around anadromous fisheries, is a key issue for us. That said, we still have, you know, all the other issues, and we're very pleased with the fact that the waiver is more comprehensive. We're talking about fire and restoration and rehab, talking about our recreation programs, and so forth and so on. So quite happy with the work to this point. We still have some things to work through in the monitoring plan, and we've made a few comments about the monitoring plan, but we see that as a great effort, and things are moving forward very well. And so I'm just pleased to be able to say that today, and I'm speaking for myself as a Forest Supervisor for the Six Rivers and my counterparts on the Shasta Trinity, the Klamath, and the Mendocino, as well as the Modoc and part of the Lassen. But I also speak for the Regional Forester and his team, and that this provides a template for us. And when I say us, the region, Region 5, which is California for us, and helping to work through any nuances that we need to help work through on possibly reinitiating or furthering the efforts with the statewide waiver and through that process. We look forward to those opportunities as they come about, and we really want to thank this board for taking that leap with us and us with you to get this waiver in place. So thanks a lot.
Gentlemen, thank you both. Sometimes it's nice to be first, right, out in front. And you know, I actually was looking in the rearview mirror the other day with somebody talking to him, and I give Bob Clamp a lot of credit. I think this was kind of his crowning moment going out of here, and I knew it at the time, but it really hit me the other day thinking about, gosh, you really are talking a huge amount of percentage of land here. You really are talking something very significant. It's great to hear, by the way, Tom, for you that as staff, you know, you take ownership of this, that it is important, and it's a tool that sounds like it's working. And for you, Tyrone, that you guys on the ground as practitioners and managers of that national forest land out there, which is a huge percentage of our land base in the North Coast, that you have the tools that give you flexibility and yet you see tangible results that are workable. That's fantastic. One question, just for my own clarity, and I admit I didn't go back and look at the waiver, but is it correct that national forest land is under the Northwest Forest Plan rules and not forest practice rules? Is that correct?
Northwest Forest Plan, yes.
Northwest Forest Plan. And so when you talk about shade retention and some of that kind of stuff, because forest practice rules get specific to, say, class of water body and shade retention that goes with that, and I'm not, I got to admit my own ignorance here, just to, as those other rules, are they similar in their application and retention and that type of character of regulations and requirements out there?
The Northwest Forest Plan has an aquatic conservation strategy.
Oh, Tom, we need the mic.
The Northwest Forest Plan has an aquatic conservation strategy that's part of it that incorporates many of these shade retention requirements. So that's one of the things about this this waiver. It was designed to basically take, it wasn't designed to reinvent the wheel in the sense that it uses existing Forest Service programs and tries to build on those to achieve water quality protection. And in the case of the Northwest Forest Plan, it's very protective of – that was one of the key portions of the plan, was this aquatic conservation strategy. So, for example, on perennial streams, buffer widths on perennial streams are 300 feet on each side of the stream, and in the case of forest practice rules for the same kind of streams, the buffer width is half that much, 150 feet. So it's very protective, and that was the intent.
One other point of clarification. When Tom, you mentioned questions and answers, I assume that you're talking about, like, project descriptions, questions that get asked to describe a project and answers that come about from the applicant or as a process of application. Is that correct?
I mean, the questions and answers that came out of the meetings?
Or is it – maybe I'm misinterpreting that, but when you were talking about the question and answers, maybe I should just ask, can you clarify the question and answer process? How does that pertain to this? Because is it part of an application process, or what is that?
Well, say so. For example, I have the question and answers here, and so for example, the questions or answers are broken down into different sections. Like the first section is waiver categories A and B, and the second section is application process, watershed restoration plans, monitoring and reporting program, natural potential shade. So it has to do with specific questions that came up as a result of these initial meetings that we had with the Forest Service about how the waiver applies. So, for example, I earmarked a couple of these. So, like, for example, here's a question about a stormwater permit, for example. And the question was, does construction of temporary roads require a stormwater permit? And so this is the waiver was written to cover certain types of category B conditions, as we called them. But like in the case of a stormwater permit, this is a separate permit that if there's more than 1 acre of disturbance as a result of a project activity, then a separate stormwater permit is required. So the question was, the response to the question was, construction of temporary roads require a stormwater permit, and the answer is if you're going to disturb more than 1 acre, you need a stormwater permit unless it's part of a larger project that is granted coverage under the waiver. So the idea was we broke this into like 15 different categories and then listed each question, the portion of the waiver that applied to that question, and then responded to that question to provide an answer. And then with the idea that this would be part of the educational process, moving forward with waiver implementation.
So this is really the application of the waiver to specific activities on forest land and doing the dance between our agency and you guys and sorting that out. Okay,
right.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you for that clarification. Any other board member comments or questions? Mr. Corbett?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the update. And I do think best management practices on a watershed level, which is what you get out of the North Coast Forest Plan, between two comparable watersheds works and is a more advanced and because of the large ownership that we don't have in the private sector. And the first, we're in our third generation permit, but the first permit you did after that, the one before this, was a tremendous advance forward. But then in order to assure the compatibility between watersheds, you went from upslope monitoring, also including some water quality monitoring. That's a huge critical step, and I really want to thank you for that. And the way I see it right now is we are the leader in the state. You're the leader in the state, so that we've really come a long, long ways, and it's really encouraging to, see your efforts, and it's been very, we got a good quality program now.
Any comments or questions? Can I ask then, this has been in play now for a year and a half, correct? So I would expect you'd come back to at some point forward and, again, further check in with us about how this is working or what's going on with this waiver. This is a five-year waiver, so check in maybe, I don't know, sometime in the near future. It's, say, not to exceed a year or something like that, or halfway through as we kind of round the curve. And it's very encouraging to hear what you, both our staff and Forest Service, has done here with the application of a waiver process on Forest Service lands.
And I'm sorry, I forgot. Two quick things. One of them is our biggest concern, or my personal one, is just that you get the adequate funding flow from Congress to do the good work that you're doing. And then the one area that we, I believe, alluded to in the current permit, and we didn't go anywhere with it because I didn't hear any good enough ideas, including my own weren't good enough, is what to do on a watershed-wide fire storm scale, because you're under tremendous pressure to harvest the timber before it rots. And then at the same time, we found if you, you know, some acres is okay, but if you have a watershed-wide catastrophic fire, then the logging on that scale can cause a problem. And I don't have an answer to it. I just want to assure you that. But that's the one area, if you get some thoughts for the next permit round, that'd be very helpful to us.
Well, fantastic. Thank you much. This is information item only. So with that, we'll let you go. Tyrone, thank you for coming all the way down. I appreciate it very much. Come back in and talk to us again. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to item number 12, which is